Baseball is all about tradition, but every home game brings something new. Just like Mio Sparkling Sake, crafted with time-honored Japanese brewing techniques, Mio delivers a modern twist. Slightly sweet, refreshingly effervescent, and as crisp as a perfect pitch. Whether you love sake or just want to discover something new, Mio is a crowd pleaser. Light, bubbly, and easy to enjoy. At Citi Field or at your favorite spot, ask for Mio Sparkling Sake by name. A new tradition. Served chilled. Brought to you by Takara Sake, proud sponsors of the New York Mets and the Rico Bronya Podcast.
Let's get to some of your emails. TheRicoB@gmail.com. This one comes after Saturday's loss. Ron Shea. I'm a Francisco Lindor fan, and I believe he's a great player. He will be a Met for life, and I'm good with it. All that being said, when you're 0 for 4 on the day, you need to take a pitch. At any level in baseball, they teach you that. A weak, lazy pop-up to end the game is unacceptable on the first pitch of an at-bat from Francisco. Excuse my language, but why the F did we not pinch hit for Tomas Nito? I speak for every Met fan when we were just hoping he wouldn't ground into a double play and end the game. Yes! Me too, Ron, said that earlier. Bad loss. Bad loss yesterday, Saturday. Welcome to the hot and cold 2024 New York Mets. So a couple of things. Once they pinch hit for Narvaez with Nito on Saturday, which they did in the seventh inning, they can't pinch hit for Nito because they don't have a catcher. So if you use, let's say you use Joey Wendell, because it's the bottom of the ninth inning and you're desperate and Nito stinks and the Mets somehow tie the game, you don't have a catcher. And that's the problem. That's why I go back to the seventh and I wonder if that was the moment to pinch hit for Omar Narvaez, that may not have been the move I would have made with Carlos Mendoza. As far as Lindor is concerned, I said this earlier, Pete and I are on the same page. I'm not pissed that he swung at the first pitch. I understand what he was thinking. He was thinking, I am getting a 100-mile-per-hour fastball right down the middle, and I'm going to try to hit the crap out of it. Problem is, he didn't. Kyle Kuhn writes, Vientos. I am writing this as Brandon Nimmo flied out to right field in the bottom of the ninth inning. And by the way, the bottom of the ninth inning, he flied out. When did he fly out in the bottom of the ninth inning? Which game was this? I'm trying to think. He flied out to left field in the bottom of the ninth inning. Maybe that's what he's thinking. All right. Am I the only one to think that pinch hitting Vientos for Brett Beatty in the bottom of the ninth inning is crazy? I know it ended up working out as he got a base hit, but he has only played one game in the majors this season, whereas Beatty has shown some very positive performances. I would trust Beatty over Vientos in that spot, at least personally. Curious on your thoughts. No. Like, I didn't mind it at all because you have a lefty on the mound. Beatty has not hit the cover off the ball, even though he did have that little bloop double in the fifth inning. And this is now talking about Sunday's game. You've got a little momentum from the fact that Vientos had two hits on Saturday. So I didn't mind that at all. Obviously, it did work out because not only did he get a base hit, and Kyle Kuhn would later say, oh, yeah, by the way, hit a game winner. That happened two innings later. Clayton writes, he better fucking stay. I don't give a shit who we cut. Vientos better stay. Good job, Clayton. Jimmy writes, I'll make it quick. Is Mark Vientos here to stay? With the loss of Alvarez, this team needs the youth and excitement these young kids can bring. My gut is that he is going to stay. And my gut is I think it's going to be DJ Stewart who goes down. It's all about options. I think Beatty's a possibility, though, too. I do. I think there are a couple of warning signs that Beatty's on the table. Number one, the fact that he used him as a pinch hitter. And the number two, Mendoza claiming, like I said earlier, he's going to play Vientos over Beatty on Monday night against the right-hander in Jameson Taillon. Samuel writes, memo to David Stearns. Think we still don't need Vientos in the big leagues? Owen Hoff, the big Stearns believer. You still support the decision to not start the year with him? Yeah, Pete. You still support Vientos being in AAA for the last month?
I don't think I ever supported that from the beginning, though. I mean, I said I guess when I was talking about who's going to make that final roster spot, I figured Zach Short because David Stearns made it clear he was in the mix, and I expected the versatility with Short. But here's another thing too, just to piggyback off of why Vientos is probably going to stay up here, dude. The guy's killing it in AAA. At some point in time, like, his numbers are if he goes back to AAA, that's like a demotion he didn't deserve.
Yeah. And, no, and, I, and, I don't think you can. I think even like with an 0-for-4 against Jameson Taillon, the game-winning home run, the three hits, the performance in AAA, like you pointed out, I think he's staying. I think it's a matter of how he stays, like who goes down, and then what his playing time looks like upon staying. But I'm with you, Pete. I'm with everybody. Like, he's going to stay. I think this is a very similar Mike Jacobs situation as it was in 2005. Mike Garofolo writes, is that the football writer, Mike Garofolo?
I don't think so. If it is, thanks for listening.
Hold on a second. Let me check this out. Oh, no, maybe it's not. The biggest takeaway after a big win is Carlos Mendoza. It's hard not to love the two-out, two-strike, one-strike away from losing base hit from Harrison Bader, followed by the two-strike, two-run game-winning home run by Mark Vientos. How can you not be happy for that kid? But my biggest takeaway is Carlos Mendoza. It's only April, but Mendoza has already demonstrated that he's willing to manage in a way that even Buck rarely did, by relying on his eyes to make the best decision in the moment, in particular big moments, regardless of what the matchup analytics say he should do. Mendoza's decision to let Quintana finish the eighth based on the way Quintana was throwing today and Quintana's conviction is everything we've been missing in a Mets manager since maybe Terry Collins, who perhaps relied a little too much on his gut feeling. See Matt Harvey, game five. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up there, Michael. I am pumped for Vientos and impressed with Bader, but man, it's an even greater feeling to think that we have a manager at the helm with a real feel for the game in the moment whom we trust to set Mets players up for success in crucial situations. Let's go, Mets. Yeah, I loved what he did with Quintana on Sunday. And I think it was before the Contreras at-bat. There were two outs in the eighth inning, and Mendoza went out. He went out to the mound. And when he went out to the mound, I'm thinking to myself, you can't take him out here. You can't. He hasn't given up a base runner since the error. That's not even his fault. Since the Cardinals scored that one run in the fifth inning, like, you can't take him out. And Mendoza went out there. He talked to Quintana. Quintana said, I'm good to go. And then Quintana responds by striking out Wilson Contreras. So I think that was a real positive sign. My issues with some of Mendoza's decisions are very much minor. You know, we talked about the decision on Saturday earlier in the pod about using Nito to pinch hit for Narvaez. I didn't love it, but they're really minor by nature. I think the way you handle your bullpen, the way you handle your staff is really, really important. And I think on a rare day where you get Quintana dealing and keeping his pitch count low, you got to take advantage of it. And I thought he did a great job doing that. A couple of other things. Number one, I read today from Tim Healy, I think published this in Newsday, the Mets haven't worn their black jerseys or their alternate blue jerseys this season because they haven't received the right pants from Nike. Is that not unbelievable? Now, there is a story coming out that I think Jeff Passan published it, that there's a memo from the Players Association where they're going to fix these jersey issues. Eventually, the names on the back are going to be bigger again. The pants aren't going to be see-through anymore. So we are going to fix this issue, which is not a surprise. But I hadn't even thought about that they have not worn their black jerseys yet. We did see the City Connect on Saturday. I like the City Connect personally. I think they're pretty good. If I had to find a negative, it's that you could fool me and say they're Yankee jerseys. Like, they don't have a deep connection to the Mets. You can't tell me the purple for the 7 line is, but I think they're still cool. Like, they're a cool looking jersey. I just don't think they feel very Mets like, but I like the City Connects. What about you, Pete?
No, I love them. I mean, I love the helmet with the freaking bridge across it. I think it looks awesome. I understand that you said that there's no connection. I think you were the one who said it. If they put Queens rather than NYC across the chest, that would have been perfect. But I actually love it. I like the choice. It's not all gray from bottom, top to bottom. I like the white pants that go with it. So there's a little, you know, contrast with the color. I think they did a great job. They could have really destroyed it, let me put it that way.
Oh, no. I mean, you look at some of the other ones and, you know.
You see the Phillies, by the way?
Yes.
Oh. I want to vomit looking. First of all, I hate the Phillies anyway, but then you look at their jersey. It is one of the grossest things I've ever seen. So terrible job on that.
Yeah, no, I like the City Connects. I may even get one. I may pull a Met jersey at some point and buy one.
Authentic? Because it's $500.
It's $500?
Yeah, who tweeted it today? I think it was it Laura Albanese or somebody did. They were at the stadium. They took a picture of the price tag. It was 450, but with tax, it's 500.
Oh, that's insane. Yeah, I wouldn't get a jersey, actually. I think what I would get is a hoodie. I'm a big hoodie guy. So the City Connect hoodies look pretty good. Couple of other things. Number one, David Peterson and Tyler McGill are on their way back. They're making rehab starts. So the David Peterson timetable, a lot quicker than I thought. He looked great. He pitched at single A on Sunday. But keep this in mind with Peterson and McGill. The rehab clock has started, and that is 30 days. So we could see David Peterson and Tyler McGill sometime in the middle of May, but they both have options. So if there isn't room, if the Mets aren't recalling them, it's okay. They can actually activate them in 30 days and then option them down to AAA. I'm not sure that's going to happen. Let's see the state of the Met rotation, the state of the Met bullpen by the time we get to the middle of May. But both David Peterson and Tyler McGill are on their way back.
I got something I would like to throw in there, and I don't know if you have it, but the Rockies have 7 wins. The Marlins have 6 wins. The White Sox have 6 wins. Reed Garrett has 5.
That's funny.
Just saying.
No, that's amazing. Reed Garrett, you know, just piling up the victories out of the bullpen is kind of badass. Like, oh, I know it doesn't always have to do with him. Sometimes it's just about the luck. But yes, Reed Garrett having 5 victories is insane. It really is. And he continues to be great, man. He is one of those weapons now. And the strength of the New York Mets, we're a month into the season now. We are 27 games into the season now, 14-13. The clear strength of the New York Mets in this moment is their bullpen. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's also funny looking at the National League. It's early, so you try to find patterns, but you don't want to over-exaggerate some of the patterns. Here are a few of the things that we know and we shouldn't be surprised by. The Atlanta Braves are really good. The Philadelphia Phillies are really good. The LA Dodgers at some point will win the National League West. I'm not sure about the Central. I mean, both the Cubs and the Brewers are off to good starts. But that second and third wild card spot in the National League feels gettable. You know Atlanta or Philly wins the East, probably Atlanta. And the Phillies are better than us, no question about it. You know the Dodgers win the West. You know somebody wins the Central. And that allows you 2 more playoff spots. And in this moment, 15-13 is the third playoff spot. I'm not trying to give you a, hey, if the season ends today thing. Just noticing the shape of the National League and what it may take to be a playoff team.